Well, we have to move on. Now, I'm pointing out that in verse 15, the focus changes. And Jesus says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. We need to consider what's implied by that. First of all, let me just point out that in Romans 11, 25 and 26, Paul says, hardness in part has happened to Israel until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. Then all Israel will be saved. So God has a program. At the present moment, his program is to reap a vast harvest of Gentiles. But when that harvest is complete, then all Israel will be saved. Not all Israel that's in the world today, but the remnant whom God has chosen. And the fact that so many more Jews are now beginning to believe in Jesus as the Messiah is one of the little signs that show us we're coming to a period of transition from one age to another. From the age of the Gentiles to the age when Israel will once again be the leading nation and the representative of God on earth amongst nations. So all this is contained in this one little passage that we've looked at. Now, what is the abomination of desolation? And of course, there are endless theories about that. I'm reminded of a friend of mine who said, how can I help it if I'm right? I believe it's something that indicates the manifestation of the Antichrist. 20 years ago, I thought the Antichrist is something pretty remote. In fact, I almost laughed at people who were occupied with it. Today, for me, the Antichrist is something very close at hand. What's the holy place? To my way of thinking, there is no question about that. It's the temple area in Jerusalem. Let me show you two scriptures. 1 Kings chapter 9 and verse 3. First Kings chapter 9, verse 3. The Lord is speaking to Solomon after he'd completed the building of his temple on that particular area. And the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication that you've made before me. I have sanctified this house which you have built to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. So God says, I've put my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Doesn't matter who occupies it. God has never withdrawn that statement. And then in Psalm 132, verses 13 and 14, the psalmist says, for the Lord has chosen Zion, that's this area, he has desired it for his habitation or his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. So God has sanctified that place. No matter how much men may desecrate it, and I'm fully aware that a Muslim temple stands there at this time, God has chosen that place. And ultimately, it will be used for God's purposes. But it is the holy place. So Jesus says, when you see the abomination of desolation, which is some indication that the Antichrist has moved in and taken over, then he said you have to act quickly. I want to point out to you also in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, concerning the Antichrist, that Paul says, speaking about the coming of the Lord, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away come first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, that's the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. I believe that is part of what's included in Matthew 24:15. I believe it's very close at hand. I'm not a person who speculates, but it is an established fact that there are sections of the Jewish people who are busy preparing for the restoration of a Jewish temple. They are conducting elaborate courses on how to conduct the sacrifices, how to weave and make the vestments that the priests have to wear. They're very serious about it. I don't say how or when it will happen. Now, it has also been discovered by archaeologists, some Jewish archaeologists, that the Holy of Holies occupied a space not where the Mosque of Omar is, excuse me, but north of it. So it is conceivable that the Antichrist, who is going to be a master of politics, could wangle a deal between the Jews and the Arabs, by which the Arabs would retain the Mosque of Omar and the Jews would be permitted to build their temple just north on the true site of the Holy of Holies. I'm not saying it will happen that way, but it could. At any rate, when the Antichrist is manifested in that area, then Jesus says, act and act quickly. Now this is dramatic. Verse 16 and following. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. What some people call the West Bank, God calls Judea and Samaria. Let him who is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. That's dramatic. It speaks about a flight so rapid that there's no time to stop and take anything. You're aware, I'm sure, that in that part of the world, many of the houses have flat roofs, and there are side staircases on the outside of the house leading up to the roof. So Jesus says, if you're on the roof, and this happens, come down the staircase and don't go back into the house. You don't have time. Take off. Run as fast as you can. Let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. Here's a man out in the field. He's just in working garments. He doesn't have a jacket on. And this thing, whatever it is, happens. Jesus says, take off, don't go back home to get your clothes. It's too late. And then he says, woe to those who are pregnant and to those with nursing babies in those days. That's obvious. If it's going to be a very hasty flight, pregnant women and women with nursing babies will be at a disadvantage. And pray that your flight may not be in winter on the Sabbath. I spoke about that in our last session. I pointed out that biblical prophecy sets parameters for prayer. And you cannot pray intelligently or effectively outside those parameters. Jesus said, you're going to have to flee. Don't waste time praying that you won't have to flee. But pray within the parameter that you may not have to flee in the winter for obvious reasons or on the Sabbath. And as I pointed out, that assumes the establishment of a Jewish state, because until the Jewish state was established, it wouldn't have made any difference whether they fled on Sabbath or on some other day. So that verse tells us a lot when we understand its implications.